message one the night. Her brother Mark wasn't able to come the night because Sister Oliver's working. So the Lord bless Brother Mark. I want to just talk tonight about prayer, and that's a great wee song. Brother Kerry was leading us in there. First time I heard that song really sung was in Abbot Street Pentecostal Assembly at Easter, and there was a couple of sisters sang it, and it really is a lovely wee song. And we're going to meet again with the loved ones over there. Praise the Lord. I was thinking, you know, abide in me and not abide in you. Jesus says he asked what you will and it shall be given you. And then in John 4, I want to read from John 4, but probably that other scripture, abide in me and my works abide in you. But let's read John 4. And this, I know we know these things. I know I've preached these things before. But this is as much for me as it is for you, because I believe God needs to stir us up to pray more. And I'm not saying, I don't know how much you're praying and how much I'm praying. I need to pray more. And I want God to stir me to pray more. And I know that you can go through seasons for God leads you in tremendous prayer, and you don't always have that. And then you can have a routine. People have a routine for them, make themselves do it. And that's all good. But I believe God can bring us into seasons of tremendous prayer. But I believe it's good to hear about prayer, because if we hear about prayer, we'll want to pray. Praise God. Let John 4, and let's read verse 23 to 24. Let's read from verse 21. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Now, remember one week I preached about that, showing you the lineage Jesus came from. That's why they said that. Verse 23, But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads again tonight. If you have a need, just lift your hand before the Lord, and we're going to pray for each need tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We just praise you for your mercy, for your grace, for your love and your truth that you've showed toward each and every one of us. Lord, I pray you'll help us to seek your face. Lord, you know that your word says we're to call on your name often. And if we abide in you and you abide in us, we can ask what we will and we can have it. Lord, I pray that you'll help us when we don't pray, that you'll help us to pray, lead us to pray, bring us into a deeper life of prayer. And Lord, forgive us for unbelief, forgive us for backsliding, backbiting and back whatever, but cleanse us in your blood tonight. Just help each one of us, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit will move in this room tonight. Plead the precious blood of Jesus over everyone in this room. I take the Holy Spirit by faith to help me right now, in Jesus' precious name. And I pray, Lord, that you'll move and all of our lives afresh. We pray for Jordy and Winifred. Comfort them and strengthen them, and all the family circle at this time, and for others that need your comfort and strength. And Lord, for the hands raised, you know every need. Meet every need, I pray, in Jesus' precious name. And Lord, we do pray for Brother Andrew Beecham as he would come this weekend, that you'll go before him, Lord, and you'll give him words to speak and bring him safely, Lord, and bless the meetings and give your own people the desire to come and to hear the word of God in Jesus' precious name. Now, Lord, bless your word to all of our hearts in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I don't know if anyone else saw it. Samuel had sent me a thing where the boy got up in the European Parliament. Did anyone see that? And he cursed Israel. He cursed them in the European Parliament, and then he dropped dead. And God can't take back what he said to Abraham. He can't take it back. Because he said he could swear by no greater, he'd swear by his own self. And God said to Abraham, I'll bless you. And him that curses you, I'll curse. And I'll tell you, that boy cursed Israel. And you know, I was coming through Lurgan. Had no matches in the car. But I'll tell you, I'd seen the time of what it burned her. Not the car, the flag I was seeing. I seen the flag to the opposition party flown in Lurgan. Now I'm telling you what I think of it, that shouldn't even be allowed. In this country, we call ourselves British. That shouldn't be allowed to be flown. I'm telling you, it should have been burnt. And I'll tell you, for 2 pence, some young lad should have sent just to burn it. It should be burnt. And I'm telling you, there'd be no sin in burning it. That's what I think of it, because I think nothing of it. And I've no respect for it. And people that promote it, I've no respect for them either, I'll be honest with you. Because if we're real believers, we're the royal seed of Abraham. How can we go against Israel, which God's blessed and God's called? And we are by faith believing in Jesus Christ, who we're the royal seed of Abraham. And we need to pray for Israel. That's what the Bible tells us to do. Pray for them, not curse them. And I tell you, may the Lord bless them tonight. But I thought I'd just share that. And we're seeing that. I couldn't believe it. And the size of it, it was some size of a flag. What they had flying. There's many an orange hall around this country was burnt. For the wrong reason. And there's flags that got flying and there's nobody touching them. They should be burnt. Every one of them that's seen should be burnt straight away. You should be allowed to carry one of them yokes in the back of the boot. You know, it's just like a torch. I let that walk over here. And when you see it, you go, phew! And your disc goes out. And before you know it, she's up in flames. That's what I think of it. Praise God. The Lord bless you. How good is the subject? But isn't it? I'll tell you, that boy cursed Israel. In the European Parliament, he thought he was a big fella. But he forgot, you see, that Abraham's God is the real true God. And I'll tell you, God proved it. And he dropped dead. And they carried him out. Isn't that wonderful? And praise God. And I know we've saw through different meetings how the Lord's going to save Israel and everything. And it's so true tonight. God's going to save them. Praying. I believe we need to pray more. I know, you know, all of us are praying. I believe in praying. And I'll tell you, you know, God pulls down. How many believes that? And God raises up whom he will. And God can lead us to pray. There's things we need to pray that they're got rid of. And there's things we need to pray that they're prosper to believe in that as well. And the Bible says we're to bind and we're to loose. And there's some things that need binding and there's some things need loosening. But God wants us to pray. And you know, we want to come into God's presence and worship him and receive him and, you know, his help, his strength at all times. And every Christian, you know, all of us should set regular times aside to pray. I know it's hard to do it. And I find that I'm working quite a bit of hours and it's hard to set time aside to pray. Because after you do work, and I work early, you come home, all you want to do is sleep. And then you get a time of the day and things are busy, but you have to make time to pray. And I tell you, in the morning, no matter what time it is, where I'm late or early, I have a call or a habit, whatever you want. I don't go nowhere until I pray. And I believe it's good to do that. I believe that in the morning, we should make ourselves pray. Whether we want to or not, that should be our first thing, praying. And then I believe on top of that, we need time set aside to pray. And I know sometimes we don't know what to do about things, what we're going to do about it, how it's going to work out. There's only one answer I know of. In all the years I'm serving the Lord and preaching, and that's over 30 years now, and that's the secret chamber, pray and seek the Lord. And sometimes you have to fast and pray. And if you don't get the answer, you have to fast and pray. And sometimes people will have an idea for you, what they think, but that mightn't be God's will. And when God does show you his will, he'll confirm it by the mouth of two or three witnesses. Isn't that right? And the most powerful The most powerful, influential person really is a man or woman that's in tune with God, that is in praying. And I believe God gives us instructions from his word. And I want to look at some of these instructions tonight. And the first one we see, God is showing us what kind of people is God seeking. God is seeking for a people that will worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, if you're going to work, there's people don't want the spirit. They want the truth, and they don't want the spirit. And William Branham said, the Baptists have it right down on the word, on the preaching. That's what he said. And the Pentecostals have it in the spirit, but they don't have the teaching that's good. And he said, if the two did get together, you'd have something. And we need the truth of the word of God, but we also need the spirit of God. So we want the Holy Spirit, and we also want the truth. And we don't want to compromise truth and go out in fanaticism, but we still need the Spirit of God. And that's what the Lord's looking. The Lord is looking for people that worship him in spirit and in truth. And you don't have to compromise the truth to have the Spirit. As a matter of fact, it's the opposite. The Holy Spirit leads you into all truth. And the Holy Spirit will show you things to come. That's what it says in John's Gospel. Now also you can read Proverbs 15 verse 8. And the Bible says that the Lord delights in the prayer of the upright. And there's only one way we're upright, and that is through the righteousness and the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. It's what's made us upright. We are not upright because of ourselves. I seen a clip on the other day, a Pentecostal boy, and he was talking about Pentecostal holiness and all this, but it's all works. It was a works program. And you can never come with works. You come as you are. Billy Graham's song's true. Come as you are, without one plea. And the Lord Jesus took us as we were, but then he changes us. And he gives us his righteousness, Romans 4, the imputation of righteousness. And that's what makes us upright. It's not that we dress ourselves a certain way and we look good, and that's good to do that. But it's his righteousness. Then also James 5 verse 16 tells us also what kind of prayers produces great results. The affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man produces great results. And we know we've heard Elijah, and Elijah prayed and it never rained, and he prayed and it did rain. But there was years past, we know that. And the rain came and he sent the man up the hill and he didn't see anything, and he sent him up again. And he said, see, like a man, like a hand, like a cloud of rain coming. He had faith. And then we think, well, that's Elijah. I'm just Tommy or John or Gary, or I'm just saying names. But the Bible says he was subject to like passions as we are. So the Lord's encouraging me and you from the word of God tonight. God is showing me and you that we have a right to pray. Even though we're not Elijah or Elisha, we have a right to pray an effectual, fervent prayer, and we are righteous. Some people say they're not righteous, and that's a lie. Because if you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, you put on righteous garments, what the Lord's give you. The righteous garments of the Lord. It's Romans 4, the imputation of righteousness. No longer I that liveth, Paul said, but Christ that liveth in me. So we're made righteous through his righteousness. So therefore we can have the affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man or woman tonight. And you can pray a righteous prayer, and the Lord can hear you, and the Lord can answer you. And that's what it says in James. And we know also what he tells us, that you can bring the sick and so forth. James 5, 16, the affectionate, fervent prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. Doesn't it? It avails much. Then also, if you went to John 9, verse 31, and John 9, 31, if we want God to hear our prayer, there's two things in John 9, 31 we have to do. We have to be a worshiper, and we have to do God's will. Now, God does not want you to be a worshiper of a picture on a wall, or a worshiper of a vain image, or a worshiper of a chain, or any earthly thing. But the only thing you're to worship is the Lord Jesus Christ. So when you talk about a worshiper, there's a certain thing we have to worship. Some people could worship their car. Some people could worship their house. A man could worship his wife, and vice versa, the wife could worship the husband. How many knows that's true? You can worship so many things in this world, but the first thing we must worship with all our heart is the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we have to do God's will. Now, the only way we can do God's will is by reading the will. And the New Testament is the new will. And when we read the will know the will. Now, that's simple, but that's profound. When we read the will, we'll know the will. And the will has so many things written in it. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in good health, even as your shoulders prosper. The will says, lay hands on the sick and they recover. The will says, whosoever shall call in the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's so many things in the will. We know it's God's will to save sinners, because the will says it's not God's will that any should perish. And we know the will says Christ died for sinners. We know it's God's will to heal, because the will says it is. And Mark 16 and the book of James as well, and many other scriptures. So we know God's will by reading the will. Just like somebody leaving the will, you have to read that will or hear that will. And not only have we the will, but we have the will sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Your testament's not in effect without the death of the testator. But Jesus Christ has made this will effective because he has died and he rose again from the dead. So the fact that he died is the will come into effect. And it was made available for me and you as sons and daughters of God. And we know the will of God. And the Lord wants us to worship and to worship only him. Then in Hebrews 10 verse 19. You know there's only one way we can enter boldly into the presence of God. That's by the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other way we can enter. We know these things. But it's good for us to have reminded of them, how we can enter in. We can't enter in because we signed our name in some great larger book, but we can only enter in by the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's amazing, we have no condemnation tonight. Do you realize, as Christians, our sins are gone. They're washed away into the sea of God's, this is the Lord's words, not mine, into the sea of God's forgetfulness. We have a right to come tonight because of that blood. And we have an entrance that we can enter in boldly by the new and living way through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now also, if you were to look at Psalms 100 verse 4, there's two things. Also, what we're to do is we enter God's presence. Psalms 100 verse 4, we're to enter with thanksgiving. We don't do that enough. We're to enter with praise. Sometimes we sit like dummies. And we'll come, so half the church come singing, and half them, I don't know what they're doing. I'm not giving half. I'm just telling you what's fact. I'm telling you what God wants you to do. This is not what the pastor wants, or one of the deacons, the elders want. This is what God wants. God wants us to enter with thanksgiving. Oh, but I've had a hard week. You could have had a worse week. We passed a fellow tonight, and he's sleeping out rough. You're not as bad as that. Most of us come in cars tonight. Maybe we're paying them, maybe we're not. But we've still got here well. And we've food on your table. We've clothes on our back tonight. All's well. We have something to thank the Lord for. And lay that all aside. You're saved. And there's the greatest gift you can ever have. You're saved. And there's many tonight that's not saved. And when you think of our own family members that's maybe not saved tonight, it should bring us to tears. To think of the Lord come, they're lost. They're lost. And we need to be praying for them. But the Lord wants us to enter into his presence with thanksgiving. And he wants us to enter in with praise. And when the brother's up here singing and leading the songs, we need to help him. We need to join in with him. And we need to praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord wants us to praise him. Hallelujah. And your feet are clapping your hands, clap them. Praise the Lord. Oh, there's not many of us. So what? Many's a time there wasn't many of us. We still praise the Lord. Many a time when I was at home and before I was even married, and it's me and my dad and just a couple of, maybe two or three of us, and we'd have had a meet in the living room. And we sung and praised the Lord the best ever you've seen. And the Bible says, for two or three he's gathered in his name, he's in the midst, not the place. Numbers doesn't mean God's in it. You could go down the road there and the numbers are some Sundays, but they're dead. There's no life in it because Christ's not in it. It's a system. It's a movement, but Christ's not the center and Christ's not preached. But we have someone to praise him about and with someone to thank him about because he saved us. Also, if you looked at Philippians 4 and verse 6, what's it tell us as well? That we're not to be worrying. Now, all of us are guilty at time of worrying. Worrying how to pay the bills, maybe, or worrying about our children, or worrying about different things. But the Bible says we're not to worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto the Lord. So we want to hand it over to the Lord and take it all over to him. Let the Lord deal with it. But I don't know what I'm going to do with him. Well, I'm going to tell the Lord about it. The Lord wants us to talk to him like our best friend. Do you ever have a... I don't know if any has ever had a horse, but I've had lots of dogs, you know. And when I was a wee lad, I used to talk to the dog. And when I raced pigeons, I talked to the pigeons. And I know you might think it's ridiculous, but you have an animal that you like, you talk to it. You would talk to it. And I'll tell you, they're smart. Animals are smart. And I'll tell you, that animal knows your voice. And whether it's a cow or a sheep or a dog or whatever, and you could talk to it and it knows your voice and it'll do certain things for you it mightn't do for nobody else. And it's amazing how you can train an animal. Now you think that the Lord Jesus Christ is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. We should talk to him. There's something wrong if we don't talk to him. And we should love on him. And we should tell the Lord every day we love him. It's great when the wife tells her, the husband tells the wife, vice versa. Probably more the wife tells the husband. But it's true. Isn't it great when somebody says, I love you? Something about it, isn't it? Well, I'll tell you, when I was in jail, that's what the Lord told me. I love you. Now is at a point in my life where I thought nobody loved me. All my friends had forsaken me, what I thought was friends. And I was suicidal. And that voice says, I love you. And I give myself for you. I'll tell you, that turned the tide. That turned the tide. Now the Lord wants us to tell him that we love him. And the Bible says we love him because he first loved us. Isn't that right? That's why we love him. Because he first loved us. In John 14 verse 13, we should pray in Jesus' name to glorify the Father. That's what we do. We want to pray in Jesus' name. In his name. If you ask anything in his name, he'll give it us, that the joy might be full. Also, if you went to John 15, verse 7, and the two conditions, what we're to ask, you know, from the Lord. If we abide in Christ, my words abide in you. And if we abide in him, his word will be in us. Amen. You see, it works the two ways. And my, we want his word in us, doesn't we? Isn't it great, you know, when you're sharp? How many knows what I'm saying? When you're on your toes and you've been reading and you're praying and somebody asks you something and it just comes to you. There's no effort. You don't have to go home and check it out or nothing. There's no effort. It comes to you. It's the Holy Spirit brings the answer to you and it just comes out of you, flows out of you. When you're abiding in him, it'll flow out of you. There'll be no effort in it. It'll just come out of you and you'll have the right answer for them. And the Bible says in one place, a soft answer turneth away wrath. And the Bible says, with no need to worry on that day, for the Lord will give us what to speak. Now there's four things here also, and you could look at Psalm 66, verse 18, or James 1, verse 6 to 7, James 4. There's so many scriptures. I'm not going to turn to them all tonight because I don't want to hold you too long, or what is time to pray. But there's four things found in these following verses what can hinder the answering of prayer. On the first one is iniquity in the heart. And you know, iniquity is when you know to do something and you don't do it. That's iniquity. And there is people that are Christians and they know to do something and they do the opposite. That's wrong. And I know people's even telling me that the Lord spoke to them a certain thing and they've deliberately done the opposite. That's rebellion. Rebellion's as the sin of witchcraft. That's what it says in the book of Samuel. Then another thing's not wavering in faith. So God doesn't want us to waver in our faith. He wants us to be steady, not to be wavering. And you know, when you want to steady the ship, when you've anchored her, it steadies her. When she's anchored, she won't move no more. She can't go out. She'll not just float out here, there, and everywhere. She's anchored. And we're to be anchored in Christ on a firm foundation, not blown to and fro every wind and wave of doctrine. And there's so many winds and waves of doctrine. And I meant to tell you as well, that Jewish man, that he's a great man that comes on preach. I can't just remember his name. Dark hair and a beard. Can. He was saying the Pope now has come out and said the gospels all need changed. They all need altered. You know what my answer is to that? He needs altered. The gospels don't need altered. Antichrist. To change God's word is anti-word. That's antichrist then. Thank God that God's word's infallible, isn't it? It doesn't need changing. So when God doesn't want us wavering, James 4 verse 3 also says, if ye ask amiss to gratify our own lusts. So God doesn't want us asking amiss on things that's not going to glorify him, that's not important to him. God wants us to ask the right things. Now, if we're reading the will and praying, the Holy Spirit will lead us to ask the right things. He doesn't want us to ask amiss. And then in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, you know, it talks about giving honor to the wife, being the heirs together. But you see, it can be the wrong relationship between the husband and the wife. You could come into a church on a Sunday and have a big fuss, and then it'll spoil the blessing. You need to have the things going right. And especially a husband and wife that's saved and serving the Lord need to be together. On a ministry that's gone forward, a man that's called and preaching and a minister, especially a pastor, part of a fivefold ministry, he must have a wife that's with him, that she's pulling with him, not against him. She must be with him. That she's in agreement with him. That she doesn't want to go somewhere different than he wants to go. And if he's wanting a Pentecostal experience and she's maybe not, or vice, you know what I'm saying? There has to be an agreement. And then you can spiritualize that to Christ in the church. Christ's church must be Christ-like, filled with the Spirit. Amen. Not a hybrid, not hybriding the word, changing the word. Taking the word and making it say something it doesn't say. Baptizing in titles instead of the name. So that's only one example. There's many of them. And you could go around them all and believe this and you've got it. It's an experience. A real experience. You can't say you have it because you followed some rules. It's an experience you have. Amen. Then Mark 9 and verse 29. You know, the only thing sometimes to overcome satanic forces is fasting and praying. And the Lord Jesus tells us that we must sometimes join with prayer and fasting and praying. And he warns us that some demons will only come out by fasting and praying. And even a good man could pray for somebody and the devil will not move. I'll tell you, you know, it's a wonderful story of Loretta Villanueva. And she was a young woman, and it was either her mother or grandmother was dying, and she wanted to give her these charms or whatever she had, and the wee girl didn't want them, and she grabbed her, and she wanted her to take them. And after that, a giant and a dwarf started appearing to her, And she told everybody about it, and they thought she made it up. And then they started biting her. And she had physical marks on her hands, bite marks. And they put her in a cage, and the priest got in the cage with her. And he put his hands over her hands, and he says, you know, they thought she was imagining she was a lunatic. And she said, they're coming now, they're going to bite me. And she screamed at the bitter. And he said, where? And she said, in the hands. And he said, you're talking nonsense. My hands isn't your hands. And when he took his hands off her hands was bitten, they were bleeding. And that priest turned gray in 24 hours and dropped dead. You can read the story. But a man by the name of Lester Semerall heard about it. Now you have to remember, this is the Lester Semerall that came from America and met Wigglesworth in England. And the first time he met Wigglesworth, he had a newspaper under his arm. And Wigglesworth said to him, you can't come into my house with that lies under your arm. And he said, it's just a daily paper. He says, no, it's full of lies. Get rid of it. Don't bring it in here. Now, people talk about the ministry of Wigglesworth, but they have no conception of the life he lived. The stuff in all of our houses that he wouldn't allow. I'm telling you the truth tonight. In my house as well. He wouldn't have it. Because that's the way he lived with the Lord. But the difference was when the thing come, when the rubber hit the road, he had it. He had it. I'm telling you. Now, I'm not saying it works, but I'll tell you one thing. There's a certain way to live if you want the power of God to be on you. I believe that. You'll not get it willy-nilly and playing church. But Semerall visited him, and the more he visited Wigglesworth, the better he got. And Wigglesworth prayed for him, and the power of God come on him. Right over him. And Lester Semerall went, and he seen that woman. It was in a far country. I can't just remember the name. And he went and seen her, and he knew she was powerful demons. And he went back to his hotel, and he fasted and prayed for several days. And then he came back, and he cast the devils out of her. And the Lord healed her and saved her and filled her with the Holy Ghost. And the president of the country built him an institution because of the miracle that he's seen done. I seen a video footage. I used to have it years ago on an old tape. And Lester Semerall was taking up the mountains to these people that had never heard the gospel. And they traveled on donkeys. Then they had to walk the rest. And there's a wee Christian missionary woman took him. And he got up there, and he was really exhausted. He's laying sleeping. And the witch doctor and everything was there with all the stuff. And the young girl was dying. And the witch doctor done all his dancing, and he's half naked and jumping around fires and bits of wood and idols and all the garbage that they had. But the wee girl got no better. And they got Wigglesworth out of bed, or Lester Semerall. And he came in. And he said he was here to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And he prayed a simple prayer over her in the name of the Lord Jesus. And she rose immediately and was healed. And I never can forget it. That old witch doctor was like that. And he run and he got everything. And he burned it all there in the spot and got saved. And the whole tribe got saved. Turned from witchcraft and came to Jesus Christ because of that one miracle. That's the power of God. I tell you, the Lord's real. I'm going to have to close in a moment. I'm going to close this. You know, I've been reading again about James McCone. James McCone's parents moved to Scotland. And they were real good Presbyterians until they got the Holy Ghost. And they went to see a man. And James McCone's dad got the baptism. And the wife didn't want him going. She said to her, you heard bad stuff about them Pentecostals. And then he told her she needed it, and she didn't want to go, but she went. And the first night she went, she got it. And then they moved back to Northern Ireland, to near Antrim. And George Jeffries came to their home in Antrim, and George Jeffries preached here. That was the Elam movement, and the different Elam men back then visited that home and preached in it. And the power of God moved. The power of God fell. And so many people were saved and delivered. And James McCone got it. And then he got baptized with the Holy Spirit. He couldn't get it for a long time. Then he got it. Baptized with the Holy Ghost. And God mightily used that man. And he went to Africa. And many thousands were saved and brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. But that's the man he was in contact with. Now, I've noticed in reading, and you can call it a history, call it whatever you want, but I believe it's like the Bible. When they crossed over, the Lord said, put stones here. This is a memorial to the Lord. Remember this and tell your children's children. And I've noticed when I've studied this and looked at it, all them great men like Wigglesworth, the Jeffreys, everybody they come in contact with was affected. What do you think of that as we come to pray tonight? They were affected. And I tell you, when the real Holy Spirit moves, it'll affect others. We need a move of God. We need a revival. Now, I know everybody's telling us of the day and we're such in an age and this can happen and something else can happen and they can put it all out and all the rest of it. Well, they can do all that they want, but we need to pray for it anyhow. We need to believe for it. Even if it's only a move in our own fellowship, our own community, we need a move of God. We need to get hungry. We'll not get it without getting hungry. We need to get hungry. And if we get hungry, we can have it. Let's come in tonight, and I hope I've encouraged you with something that's been said tonight. And I hope you get hungry for the Lord tonight. The Lord bless you tonight. Praise God. Let's come and just seek the Lord tonight. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you're never changed. You're truly the same yesterday, today, and forever. How we admire these wonderful servants of God. Lord, many that we've never heard about, that you have used so many men and women down through the centuries, down through the ages, from the reformers right down to the moving of the Holy Ghost, the Sousa Street, then right through Great Britain, many wonderful men of God, and then here, even in Northern Ireland, how you poured out your Holy Spirit in a day gone by. Oh God, we need you tonight, lest we perish. We need the move of the Holy Ghost afresh on our own lives, on our fellowship, in our homes, upon us and through us. Lord, filling us afresh, overflowing us with the power of God and with the hunger of God. Lord, as other brothers are praying, and I pray it again tonight that you'll put a hunger on every one of us to seek you and to call after you, Lord. Put a thirst on us, for they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Lord, I pray even this weekend at Lawrence Torrey, as our brother Andrew Beecham comes, Lord, that we'll not just say it was a great wee meeting, but that you'll give us an expectation beyond, that we'll expect the Holy Ghost to move in a powerful way. Lord, that you'll fill our brother with the power of God and anoint him with the power of God. Lord, that you'll speak to us words that every one of us need to hear. Help us and fill us, Lord. We welcome the Holy Spirit and we invite the Holy Spirit into this room. Rend this building of every devil and every demon power in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we lift before you the backslidden tonight, those that's gone cold, and we pray you'll revive them. You'll renew them. Lord, for those that's tilly-tallying and fiddling about, and when you're talking to them, they're doing the opposite. Pray, God, you'll speak to them again. Pray you'll stir them and you'll move them and you'll bring them to where you want them in Jesus' precious name. Oh, Lord, this evening move upon us. This land needs a move of God. The politicians can't save it. Only you can save it, Lord. And we're asking for the move of God. Pray for your own people, Israel, tonight, that you'll bless them, that you'll strengthen them, that you'll encamp them round about with the mighty host of heaven. In Jesus' precious name. Oh God, encamp our children about. Save them, deliver them. Set them free from the snares of this world and the snares of the fowler. Cover them with your blood. Cover every one of us with your precious blood. tonight. Bring us from a spirit of apathy into a spirit of praise and worship and revival. Oh God, stir us, I pray, and move every one of us. Help us not to be sluggards and sleepers, but help us to rise and shine, and let our light shine, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Oh Lord, we need your help. We need your move. We need you to turn us again, O God, and cause your face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Oh God, move in every loved one represented in this house tonight, sons, daughters, husbands, wives, aunts, uncles, relations. Lord, we pray that you'll move on them and save them. We ask you for those who are sick and afflicted. Oh God, we need a ministry of healing, a ministry of deliverance, a ministry of laying hands on the sick, where there's a real outpouring of the Holy Ghost, like the book of Acts, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Oh Lord, give us another Pentecost, I pray, in the name of Jesus Christ tonight. Help us, Lord. Bless your word to all of our hearts tonight. Help us to do what your word says. Grant us the grace we need, Lord, to come aside and seek your face. In Jesus' precious name, bless each one in this room tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen. Let's just continue on seek the Lord tonight.